Welcome to Check It Out, Comrade, an indie game podcast where every 2 weeks we bring you two indie games and tell you what we like about them. I'm Nick Lauber.
And I'm Gary Butterfield.
And I'm Jenny Palatna.
And this week we're doing just one game, The Binding of Isaac Rebirth. And we are joined by, as you just heard, Jenny, who is from the Video Games Taco podcast, which is at videogamestaco.com. It's an amazing little podcast and a really good friend of ours. So
thank you.
Thanks for joining us, Jenny.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Of course. Yeah, Jenny's a big Isaac fan. And when we talked about this, she's just like, you guys are going to do Rebirth, right? And I was like, yeah. And she's like, I should be on that. I don't know if she's those exact words, but that was a thrust. Yeah,
basically. And that was forever ago. So we're finally getting the episode out because the game's finally out. And here we are with Jenny.
Yeah.
Yay!
and this is not, Check It Out, Comrade is now not just half hour long episodes about one game. Just because it seems like it, because that's all we've been doing.
Yeah, it has been two in a row. Well, like an hour-long episode last time.
Yeah.
So we will be back with our regular two-game, half-hour, you know, 20-minute, half-hour format eventually. But for right now, there's just too many good games we want to talk about forever.
So. Yeah, this is special.
Yeah. So so let me tell you a little bit about Binding of Isaac, Rebirth specifically. So Binding of Isaac Rebirth came out November 4th. So very recently, it is developed by Nicholas and is designed by Edmund McMillan, and it is a remake of a game called The Binding of Isaac, if you're not aware. It was made by Edmund McMillan and Florian Hansel, and that was released in September 28th, 2011, but it was a flash game, essentially, and therefore couldn't be run on any consoles and had a lot of performance problems. So Nicholas approached Edmund, and they remade it entirely in a whole new engine, and it's fantastic.
Yeah, the performance problems were so shitty that I was only able to put like 500 hours into it. I was so disgusted. I if it ran better, I would have just kept with it. But this finally, it's finally the version of it. So this is among like two remakes of games that I consider to be like 100% kind of perfect remakes.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh yeah.
Like this and the Resident Evil remake for GameCube. Like I don't think that there are. Those are the two that I can think of that are just like 100% just improvements.
Yeah. The only other thing, which, you know, I've tried to get you to bump this about the upcoming Morrowind episode too. The only other thing I can think of that's like that is like open source engine remakes that little small teams are putting together just to keep old games up to date.
Yeah.
But other than that, yeah, as far as like actual commercial releases, this is definitely one of the very few perfect remakes in my opinion.
Yeah. It's so better and good, and the original was so good.
Yeah,
it hurts.
So if you aren't familiar with the original, or what this game is, it is a randomly generated overhead dungeon crawler, kind of a basically a Zelda 1 Dungeons Forever,
Well, it's a dual stick shooter.
Yeah,
like in a Zelda 1 environment. It's a dual stick shooter Zelda 1 roguelike.
Yeah, it's many things all at once, and it seems like it would just be a complete mess. But Edmund managed to skillfully design like the perfect game out of those mechanics. Yeah. And so essentially this is the exactly the same as the old one is in the same exact format. Just with much prettier effects and the ability to be not just on PC but on PS4 and Vita as well,
and added tons and tons of stuff.
Yeah,
yeah. And it's noteworthy because of those mechanic things, the basics. You know, it has that roguelike formula where the floors are randomized, your items are randomized, and everything. But then the other part of it that kind of makes it unique is that the story or the kind of overlay for this is this like scatological. You know, it's like this young boy being confused about religion and shit.
Yeah.
And and like journeying to the bottom of like, you know, his mother's vagina, you know, in order to like, as one does.
Yeah.
And so that kind of adds a lot of the kind of flavor to it as well. Like it is a roguelike, but you're not like, you know, the dungeon of Kobold Keep.
Yeah. It's not a fantasy setting in any regard. The story is essentially, you know, there's a little intro movie where Isaac's mother is watching Christian broadcasts on the television and gets a message from God that she should kill her son, much like the story, The Binding of Isaac, in the Bible. And he runs away to his room and finds a secret trap door to the basement, and that is where your adventure begins.
And it is really like does a good job of pointing out how fucked up that specific Bible story is.
Yes.
Oh
like,
yeah.
That is one of those like I'm not one of those guys like I'm not gonna like Dawkins it up at a coffee shop and just be you know like you know you fucking sheeple. As an atheist I prefer logic. But the Binding of Isaac as a story is fucking bonkers.
Mm-hmm.
You know it's awful. Yeah. Like
what, no, I think the only worst story in the Bible is the one where that chick gets her father drunk so she can sleep with him because there aren't any other men to impregnate her.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's pretty bad.
Yeah.
And also God killing a bunch of kids for making fun of one of his apostles.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. And the flood and Gomorrah.
Oh, okay.
And
all right. Yeah,
okay.
There's
okay.
a lot of fucked up stories.
Yeah. And Job. It's all pretty awful.
Old Testament God's kind of an nice. Asshole.
Yeah, yeah, Old Testament God, don't get a beer with that guy.
No. Yeah, yeah. The
there's gonna be locusts in it.
Yeah, and not just like you know like the monochromatic locust IPA from you know, it it has that all those elements together and like. The crazy thing about The Binding of Isaac is, like, some of those things are things that I don't love. Like, some of the gross-out humor and stuff is something I usually don't like.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But it works really well, and that's kind of Edmund McMillan's thing, is how, like, everything is disgusting but also really adorable.
Yeah.
And
no,
it kind of
really
works.
It's really cute. Yes.
Super cute. Like, if you told me, like, oh, I'd be, like, you know, when South Park has a little talking turd, I hate it. And then Binding of Isaac, though, like, there are all these little cute turds.
Oh, the poops like, are so cute.
And they're so cute. Like, I love them.
Yeah, that is the cutest character in the game by far, is this little poop.
Definitely.
Shit.
Yeah.
It's so weird the way that it just kind of adds up to, like, my friend Will had a tweet about it. He's like, oh, it's about a kid escaping child abuse and fighting shit in the basement with his tears. No, wait, it's good. And like that, and it's totally true. Like, it doesn't sound good.
It's,
but it's
a
like,
hard sell, for sure.
Yeah, it's weirdly transcendent, though.
Yeah. So Jenny, why don't you give us a brief blurb about what you think is your favorite, the best favorite part of Binding of Isaac or Rebirth?
Ooh, my best favorite part. Well, what I love about Isaac in general is the way it kind of combines like a tiny resource management, you know, sim mm-hmm. with a slot machine.
Yeah.
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 Sure. There's the excitement of, okay, which power-ups am I going to get, and what kind of synergy are they going to have, and then there are all these tiny micro-decisions you're making about what to do with your coins and your bombs and your keys all the time.
Yeah.
And your life, also. Like, everything is a resource that you're managing. And that's pretty exciting. And the poop is cute.
Yeah.
And lasers. Poop. I'm going to go with poop and homing lasers.
All right.
Yeah, how about you guys?
Those are good choices. Gary, go ahead. Give me a blurb out. I mean, you've among the three of us, you've put by far the most hours into Isaac.
I don't know how many hours Jenny's put into it.
500.
Yeah. So yeah. So probably.
But not as much on Rebirth. I'm a little behind on Rebirth.
Yeah.
I played a lot of Rebirth, but I did. I think me and Jenny are probably about neck and neck on OG Isaac. But the and Rebirth, that was me anxiety playing instead of doing things I should be doing because of preparation for things in a tough term at school, so that should not be encouraged. But like I like kind of what Jane's saying. I like how I think that there's not a game that has a more diverse verb set that you can have, especially in Rebirth. So like, you have no idea when you start playing it what you will end up being able to do at the end of it. And that's why one of the things I want to talk about, and maybe it would be end up in the spoiler section, but an interesting point that came out during the live stream was like, we were talking about other roguelites and like, you know, maybe talking about like a little bit like why this one has captured me so hard and other ones are like, I like, but don't love.
Right.
You know? And I think that's part of it. Like you can go like a Spelunky approach where like, I have this tool set. It's perfect and small, and it can do the same things at the beginning, at the end, more or less, you know, mm-hmm. or like some upgrades, but most for the most point part, you're doing the same kind of things. Whereas this is just like every Isaac run, like if you look at an Isaac at the beginning and the end, even physically, The kind of transformation, like the kind of monster he has become at the end, tells a story of what you've been able to do.
Yeah.
During that time, and it's constantly surprising in that too. Like, it's just like, oh, what is this thing going to... And that's one of the big things they upped in Rebirth that I love so much. Is like, what is this thing going to do with this thing? And now there's an answer.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it just... I haven't played a game like that before where it's like, it's so... I don't know what I'm going to get. And I'm just... There's like a source of discovery, like a sense of discovery that just goes on long past when you would think that you have found everything.
Yeah. I think... Like, I heard an interview with Edmund or read something recently where, like... He's perfect. He knew exactly what he was going for in getting that bug specifically. Like, he's like, I want a game where every item you get interacts with every item you get in some way, and also every item you get changes your appearance in some way. So there's actual physical representation. Like, he hates games where you pick up all these items and your character looks exactly the same.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, totally.
Yeah. It's just neat. Like, I wish I had like a gallery of like my hundreds and hundreds of Isaacs at the end. Is just like,
oh man,
and
oh,
like,
man.
That,
yeah.
Wouldn't that be amazing, like a wallpaper or something like that? Like,
oh, that would be great.
Because what part of the metaphor being that like the way that you cry better and more is through being the subject of child abuse.
Yeah.
In mm-hmm. this game, a lot of the things are just like super, super torturous. So you end up with these very gnarly, between that mm-hmm. and also like the supernatural stuff, like mm-hmm. you know, demonic and religious influences, like you end up with just like amazing looking avatars.
Yeah, sure.
And you know,
sure, like the way that you've been empowered is by having your eyeball squeezed out and then there's a coat hanger through your head,
right?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah,
and of course that makes a kid cry more, or if you want a kid to go mm-hmm. faster, you hit him with a belt.
Yeah, like, or a wooden spoon.
Yeah, like that. Yeah. Though, you know, there's this weird, like, it's weirdly poignant in a way that like it has no right to be. You know.
So. Yeah, it's really great. Like, you know, pulling back a little bit from the deepness to it, which there, I mean, it is, it's incredibly well thought out as far as the themes of the game as well. But one of my favorite parts about Isaac is how all this depth we talk about is contained within these 30-minute runs of the game. It's the best pick-up and play game I've ever come across.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now, like, you can even stop in mid-run, which you couldn't do originally. There's actually a save file that you can quit the game mid-run and come back to it, but Even in the original, when you couldn't do that, like, sitting down for, you know, a bad run might go 10 minutes, a good run might go 40, but on average, you can, in one sitting, get through a game of Isaac in about the same amount of time as a TV show.
Yeah, and it's a total, like, from start to finish, and it's totally different than, like, you know, it would be otherwise.
Yeah.
Like, it's such a force for good in randomization. Like, that's not something I always love in games, you know, because like my other like pet series, like the you know, Dark Souls, which you do the podcast on, it lives and dies on limited randomization.
Right.
And this series just uses it really well.
Yeah. And in every aspect, the levels are randomly generated, which pickups you get, which bosses you fight, which enemies are going to be in each randomly laid out room. It, every single element is randomized. There's even now a character, which I mean, we'll dive more into this into the spoiler section, but there's a character where even his starting stats and items are completely randomized.
Mm-hmm. Super fucking cool.
Yeah,
there's a feature in Rebirth that I thought I was going to be more excited about, where you can save a code that generates whatever levels you have had mm-hmm. so that you can continue to replay the same level. And when I first heard about that, I was like, oh man, that sounds really awesome. And then I tried it a couple times. It was just like, no, this is actually like, I don't want this to become a thing where there is a set series of levels and I know what is going to be in each of these chests.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The one thing Gary and I were thinking of, and we almost did it on Duckstream. The really cool thing that the seed code is for is mm-hmm. Is for racing someone else.
Oh, that is a really cool
so,
idea.
So someone starts a new game and gets a seed and doesn't do anything yet, and then gives that seed to the other person, and then you guys just both go at it and see who can get the furthest or who beats it the fastest.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a really good use of the seed code.
Yeah, because people used to, like, we've done Isaac races before, and, like, Isaac races existed, but, like, person in room one gets a really powerful item, and the mm-hmm. other person gets, you know,
sure,
kamikaze. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, it's more or less like a, you know, a foregone conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So like, it's good for that. And it's good also, I found, for like, if you want to, it doesn't count for unlocks, which is really smart.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But if you want to see something crazy that happens in the game, like, hey, if you get these four items together, it's just fucking bonkers. Mm-hmm. Like, people will post their seeds. So if you just want to see it, you can play with that seed and get this insane thing.
Right.
You know?
But yeah, it's not like, I think that's, I agree with you, where like, I would not want to have a right way to play it.
Right.
Or kind of like a right order. I don't want to memorize it.
Yeah, exactly.
But you do, like, it's kind of interesting the way you do memorize it, because it tackles like a different part of your brain. Like, I've compared it before to like blackjack. Like, when you talked about that resource management, like, there's like a perfect way to play Isaac. Like, if you can make the correct decisions with the information you have all the time, and that's the way that you advance as a player in it, is knowing like, okay, this is the chance that this might happen. You know, this is worth this much because I need to think about this on the next floor, et cetera, et cetera.
But the house still has the advantage.
Yeah, totally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're still going to die, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Especially initially, too. Like, a lot of people got into this because when it came out, this getting overwhelmingly positive feedback. And a lot of people on Twitter are like, friends and stuff who are playing are having a super hard time, and I forgot how hard this game was to pick up initially.
Yeah
because it was crazy hard. I even picked it up and put it down for like a long time. Like, I was just like, this is too hard, and didn't play it.
I think I might have as well.
Yeah. What about you, Jenny? Did you get were you able to dive right in, or was that like an experience?
No, it was like, it was like smoking cigarettes for me. I was hooked instantly. Yeah. And then it took me 9 years to quit.
Yeah, I can't remember. Like, I want to say that happened, but I kind of can't remember life without Isaac at this point. So.
Yeah. It's hard. Trying to go back to the springtime of your youth.
I guess that's a thing with roguelikes in general, and it's hard to kind of explain that sense of progress to somebody. Like, even though it feels like you're just dying on the third boss over and over, like, you are getting better and making progress in the game.
Yeah.
Like, that metagame is the game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that is you getting better at it.
Dark Souls has a lot of that too.
Yeah.
Within a completely different way, but manages to be absolutely brutal your first time through, and then you can beat it in a quarter of the time the second time through just by knowing everything you learned from the first time.
It's like every game has like that element of like learning to play it is also part of the game.
Mm-hmm.
But mm-hmm. the way that like Isaac takes advantage of that is because so much of it is kind of willfully obfuscated. So, like, a big part of Isaac is just knowing what things do.
Yeah.
Right.
So, like, that's something you're always going to learn. Like, any run that you got a new item on, you've made a little progress in the macro game because you mm-hmm. now know what that does.
Yeah. And sometimes it's about learning what objects you don't want to pick up.
Yeah. A lot of the time.
Yeah.
I'd say. Yeah. Yeah. And that's, it's so sad. Like, when I do talk to people who have gotten out of the game or, like, started playing and didn't like it, and they just have a shitty couple of experiences where they just, you know, I can't get anything good. You know, like, I just keep running and I get just six garbage items in a row.
Oh, you know? Yeah.
And runs, and it's like, yeah, that's discouraging. You know, you kind of have to have that little taste.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something like really amazing. And then you just, you know, all right.
Yeah.
We need to give them a beginner seed. Like, if you're checking out this episode checking out the game because of this episode, we're going to find you a seed.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I wonder if someone has put any of those together.
There's definitely, I know a couple sites that have lists of good seeds.
Hmm.
We'll have to make sure to find one that has, like, only items you have in the starting pool. But
yeah.
Because we haven't talked about that yet. That's a huge part of the game as well, is that beating the game or doing certain actions in the game actually unlocks new items that will appear in future runs. You don't get it in that run, but you get a pop-up saying that this item has appeared in the basement, and now it has a possibility of coming up in future runs.
It's like a deck building game.
Yeah.
Like you've added it to your deck in Dominion, so now you have a chance to draw it.
And that adds just so much replayability. It's ridiculous. Like, I'm going to be playing Rebirth until I unlock every single item. Like, it's undeniable that I'll do that, and then I'll keep playing because now I have a full set of items to play around with.
And they're making an expansion already.
Yeah.
Which, like, is amazing, but also kind of breaks my heart because I have been cheating on the rest of my life with Isaac this whole, like, since it's been out. And I shouldn't be doing it. Like, I'm so behind on Morrowind, guys, and I have to play Morrowind to watch out for fire. Yeah, and that game's like a... That's like a 400-hour experience in and of itself. And I
Playing
like
Morrowind
it.
Morrowind is your job right now, Gary.
Exactly. Morrowind
what are you
is my
even
job.
Doing?
I'm sleeping on the job. I'm going to the bathroom to jerk off with Isaac.
That would be some weird masturbatory episodes.
Yeah, that's the
blood everywhere.
Yeah, just blood and shit. Just blood and shit and urine.
But Gary is right. They did announce an expansion already, and they're taking community suggestions on mechanical aspects that new items will take. Edmund obviously wants to keep creative license on what the actual physical representation of that that mechanical device is, but I started to read the suggestions thread, and there's just so much good stuff in there
that that's
I
awesome.
Have to, yeah, I have to
oh,
stop.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah, no, but I had to stop just to be like, I don't know how much of this is actually going to make it in, how much Edmund likes and how much it doesn't like. Like, if I keep reading this, I'm going to somehow disappoint myself.
You're going to know too much when you go into it.
Yeah.
Because again, like, just because everything can be compared to Dark Souls, like the thing when Rebirth came out that I was super excited about, because when I came into Isaac, Wrath of the Lamb had already been out, which was the expansion for the main game.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Is just that, like, I've got the, what's this new thing? What's it going to do?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And that's amazing. That's a really good feeling.
Yeah. It might end your run, but now you know.
Yeah.
And yeah.
That's a feeling to chase. And now, like, even since he's doing an expansion, there's going to be another, like, however many new that feeling.
Yep.
So
I'm excited. I'm so excited.
Yeah. Mm. put it in my body. Yeah. What else can we do before we start just talking about specifics that are like spoily?
I don't know. I think we've got, you know, kind of our bases covered as far as what the game is and why it's great.
Yeah.
And I'd like to be able to dig into where we're all at and some of the new content we really enjoy. So let's do a little bit of admin stuff real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, Jenny, where can people find you on the internet?
So people can go to videogamestaco.com. We have some of the episodes of the podcast up. I should talk to Emily about getting more of the episodes of the podcast up. I have a personal Twitter that is @LycraShampoo. If you want to see retweets of twop tips. Or twop twips. Yeah.
And also, like, I mean, we can cut this out if you don't want to talk. Yeah, you ran and started a Patreon.
I did start a Patreon. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm so Midwestern that I try self-promoting and then I just feel like I need to apologize.
Yeah, it's gross. It's hard to do. It's really hard to get
it's
over.
It's really hard to do.
Yeah.
Guys, I'm doing something. You should give me money. No. Oh, God. Yeah. Oh, I'm so sorry.
I had to practice in front of a mirror for, like, you know, a while before we could we could talk about the Kickstarter when Watch Out Fireballs first did it. Like, no joke. Yeah. Like, I had to, like, figure out, like, how to say it without feeling gross. And if you listen to me say it the first few times, like, there is apology in my voice. Like,
oh, man, that was a funny Kickstarter video, that thing with your one pant leg.
Oh, yeah, thank you.
Yeah, it was a really good video. Yeah, I had to do similar for a little personal call out to friends and family you guys are aware of, but it's just so hard to self-promote like that.
Mm-hmm. No, it's terrible.
So I'll do it for you.
Okay.
It's a patreon.com/LycraShampoo, correct?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, and Jenny is making text adventures.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the one she has out, she is an award-winning text adventure creator.
I'm an award-nominated.
An award-nominated, sorry. Yeah. Award in my heart. Text adventure creator. And you should you can find that stuff on Google and on that site. But you should also consider kicking her a few bucks a month.
Yeah.
So she can keep doing it.
Because Jenny's a great person and deserves all that. So.
Yeah. Thank you.
Of course.
Yeah.
And to self-promote ourselves, I'm sure you guys all know this deal, but our official site is
duckfeed.tv.
duckfeed.tv/comrade. And we're on Twitter @comradepodcast and on Facebook/checkit.comrade.
Indeed. Yeah. And ratings and reviews and everything are all, even though we're not running the contest for free Rebirth anymore, still appreciated, guys.
Very much appreciated.
Yeah. So if you haven't played Binding of Isaac at all, now would be the time to stop playing. And totally, like, if you're listening to this and you haven't played the original Binding of Isaac, I think I have like 4 copies in my Steam library because it goes on sale for 74 cents all the time.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I want an extra copy of this to give away. So just so you can get a taste, like, hit me up on Twitter. I might give you one. Like, you know, that limited supplies, obviously, but like, you should play it. It's free to do it if you haven't tried it, more or less.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah, you gotta try it.
And then you'll know if you want to get Rebirth, which you'll want to get Rebirth.
Yeah, and then if you played Rebirth, you'll want to know if you want to listen to the second half of this podcast.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah, where are you at on Rebirth, Jenny? What's the last, like, kind of thing you've unlocked and stuff?
So I was telling Nick offline earlier, I have been having computer trouble with Rebirth, so I'm not actually able to play it on my machine. So I'm only about 15 hours in, and I have a few mom kills and no mom's heart kills, and it's super shameful.
Yeah. Well, now actually I'm kind of scared about spoiling things for you.
That's, yeah. I think that's probably fine.
You sure? Because there's definitely a buttload of new content at the end that that you'll be missing, that you'll have a little bit of a preview on if we go into that.
Okay. I mean, if you want, I can take my earbuds out. You guys can talk.
Yeah. It is more if you want. Like, it is, like, I mean, you know that they added stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like they added a new zone, and they added some new bosses and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. That's not so much of a spoiler, but we probably were going to talk about what those things were because they were cool.
Sure.
Is that, I mean, it's up to you,
no,
whether that's
it.
Okay.
All
okay.
Right. Do it.
Okay. Okay. We've got Jenny's permission. So.
Okay. So we're going to take you up on it.
All right.
Okay.
So Gary, I know where you're at, but what, tell everyone else where you're at.
I've cleared all my post-it notes now. So I did all the things with all the people. And I'm one challenge away from doing all the challenges.
Nice.
So the beans challenge can fuck itself forever. It's like the hardest thing. And like, some of the other ones are really hard and you kind of have to just like get a lucky deal with the devil. But all the other ones, like, so they give you some kind of unusual principle means of doing damage. In the beans one, there is no, like, I never want to use the principle means of doing damage. So it's like, oh, I find little brimstone and I deal with the devil, or I don't. And that's going to be whether I can continue it. And it goes on to, like, I think mom's heart, which is hard.
Yeah.
And that challenge is so hard. Just because I don't think it's, like, it's one of the few ones I think is kind of shittily designed, because your items that you have for it, like, some enemies you just can't fight well at all with it. So I hate calling out, you know, design things. Like, I'm not a designer, I don't know, but mm-hmm. like, there are some things, like, it's just like, this enemy, it does not fit with this challenge. Like, different enemies work just fine, but this guy can run up and I'm just fucked. So I've gotten pretty far into it. So each guy, there's five things that you do, or no, not more than five. Is it, I'm visualizing the thing. Seven. There are seven things that you do for each one. It's like, it's a mom's heart kill, a master of whatever that thing is, a mom kill, and then the boss rush mode.
Yeah.
Thing.
Yeah. So the two split off routes plus their extended versions.
Yes.
And then mom's heart, boss rush.
Yep. And
then the secret one, right?
Yep. Yes. No. The secret one actually doesn't count.
Oh, it doesn't.
Yeah, which I was kind of disappointed, because I was looking forward to trying to, like, I just want more shit to unlock.
Oh, you're
the secret
right.
one actually counts as a chest run.
Oh, interesting.
Weirdly enough, or as the dark room, which is the new.
It's just the boss of whichever area you go to.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Weird.
Which it's harder than those bosses. Like, if you're doing great enough to go do that, it's not a way to, like, save yourself from having to fight Blue Baby. You know, on
yeah,
the chest.
No,
like,
you'd definitely rather fight Blue Baby than this other boss.
Yeah. But they did a really good job of hiding some shit in this. And, like, it's kind of, it's interesting and controversial, because, like, when the first half, when you're talking about doing everything and unlocking everything, like, there is a balls hidden character
mm-hmm.
that's hidden in an amazing way that is, like, the most ridiculous challenge mode sounding thing in the world. And people found it through data mining. And, like, I read an interview with Edmund. He was super pissed about it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just like, you know, I gave you guys a filet mignon and you guys ate it in one bite. You know, like, he wanted people to discover this thing, like, a month later, like, two months later, 3 months later. And so it is bonkers, though.
Yeah.
Like, it is one of the most hidden things I can imagine in a game. And once I even get it, I am worried about trying to beat all these challenges with it.
Yeah. Yeah. The character itself is a super challenge mode playing.
Yeah. Yeah, he dies in one hit and cannot have health.
Yeah.
So including spirit hearts. Yep.
What?
Yeah.
Yep. It is a guy who dies in one hit for the entire game.
Oh my god.
The only way around that I know of is life stuff. So if you get a 9 lives or a 1-up or anything like that.
Or you'd want that thing that protects you from the first hit in a room.
Yes.
That would do it.
But in any case, like, the actual way to unlock that character should not have been discovered, should not have been leaked by any means yet, because it requires doing a lot of very specific things. Kind of, it's basically like all the rumors about, like, finding the Triforce and Ocarina of Time and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Like, all the super convoluted things that people spread around the playgrounds and stuff. That's basically how you actually have to do it.
Yep.
Oh, that's so cool.
It's super cool. And there are hints in the thing. Like, there are fortune teller messages that, like, vaguely hint at it, and, like, load screen messages. And then it would open up a puzzle piece the same way it does whenever you do anything else. And, like, the first person who found that would have felt so awesome.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, they don't know what they did, but a puzzle piece popped up, you know? And that would have been amazing, but instead it got somebody just found it, you know?
Yep. Yeah. So that's a shame.
Yeah.
I didn't say we're out with that. I am probably like halfway through filling out all the post-it notes, but I've also I've beaten every boss, and obviously have not purposely unlocked that ridiculously hard character or anything yet. But I'm going to try and fill out all my post-it notes and get through all the challenges, which I think I have half the challenges done too. So I'm basically about halfway to your point, Gary. But I definitely want to try and regular Platinum God, and then I'll consider, like, actually looking up how to unlock the secret character.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I'm fairly close to that regular Platinum God. I don't think there are very many items I haven't run into. There are a couple, like, I remember in the first one, there are, like, some items that just didn't show up.
Yeah.
You know, very often, like, I remember it took me a long time to find Max's head, because that item just didn't show up very often.
Right.
For some reason, it was on my missing items list forever until I just was able to roll it. And then the items, to kind of balance that mega character they made, the things you unlock with him are crazy good.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Like, yeah, his items are amazing. Like, if you manage to do anything with him. Like, they just sound super great. So,
I was going to say something else about finding items. You have to get level 4 Meat Boy and level 4 Bandage Girl to get Platinum God, though.
Oh yeah, and that's really really hard.
They made it much harder in this game, Jenny, because it's not just Meat Boy anymore. There's another option for what the guys drop, and that's bandages.
Yeah,
to make a Bandage Girl.
I've had a level 2 bandage orb.
Yeah,
and that's as far as I've gotten.
Yeah, so you can get Horsemen for every boss and still not get them, because you'll get like level 2 in one and level 2 in the other.
Ugh. Yeah, and having just generally more bosses means you're less likely to get a horseman.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So unless the best way to do that is to start with Eden and with the Book of Revelations. Like, if you start with Eden and you have Book of Revelations, you're more likely to get horsemen for all the bosses you can get bosses for. But to Nick's point, that still doesn't guarantee you a level 4 Meat Boy or Bandage Girl.
Wow. Yeah. That's rough.
Yeah, yeah. That was going to take a lot of work.
Yeah.
So who are you guys' favorite characters to play?
Nick, do you want to...
Well, I mean, if I'm just fooling around and purposely making a breezy run, Azazel is the shit. I don't know if you've got him yet. I forget what the...
I have.
Okay, yeah.
I have trouble. He's a little better... I had, like, him with a little brimstone, and that was a good synergy. I have trouble with any attack where I have to manually release.
Oh, yeah, the charge
attacks. Any charge attacks?
Yeah, the charge attacks. Yeah.
No, I did on Duckstream, even. I just had a ridiculous Azazel run that was, everything went right.
Oh, that's awesome.
And that tends to be more likely than not with Azazel, just because he starts so powerful. Every little good item just brings them to that much higher of a level.
Starting with flying is huge.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And high damage. He pretty much one-shots everything in the first couple floors. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Azazel like always felt a lot like easy mode to me. Even though I think he was supposed to be more balanced. Like, Edmund kept hinting at a melee character. When he was doing it, I think that's what he meant. And he's not very melee. Like, one of the weird. I spent a little bit of time with Community Remix, which was like the kind of half step. between these things. It was a fan mod, and what they did was they gave Samson a melee weapon that was not Mom's Knife, but a little bit, like, a lot worse than Mom's Knife, but a little bit better than a regular tier. Huh. And I thought that was a good balance thing. I was kind of expecting something like that, like another melee weapon other than Mom's Knife. But instead it's this tiny brimstone. The character rebalancing is probably something worth talking about, because they did in vanilla Isaac, like Isaac with the D6 is always going to be kind of king because you can flatten out the randomness.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Everyone. But then after that, Cain was, I think, the kind of unquestioned second best guy.
Right.
Because of the pill things. And now Cain is not nearly as good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's had high luck. Yeah. He doesn't get pills.
Yeah.
They super gimp the luck foot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Even though I think luck still influences whether you will get good pills.
Yeah.
Okay.
But just it's not a guarantee anymore. And then they buffed Samson and Eve in really cool ways.
Yeah.
I think.
Samson's buff is great. I just played a Samson run last night, and it was amazing.
Yeah, Samson's really good now. It's so crazy, because he used to be such shit. Yeah. He was my least favorite character in the first one.
So, just so I'm clear, the balance is that his rage is floor-wide, not room-wide, yep. Right?
And he starts at 3 health instead of 1 health and a spirit heart.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah. So now, if you clear out the whole floor and kill all the enemies, you'll be doing really good damage by the end. Always. Like, he can actually be, like, with no damage upgrades, he can be the most powerful guy that you have when you get to the boss.
Oh, nice.
And then Eve no longer needs to have a half heart to have Whore of Babylon.
Yeah.
Which is kind of her. Yeah. Full heart, which means, like, with Eve, like, it's just like, oh, as soon as you start playing, like, get hit a couple times and then just pretend like you're doing a Judas run.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And you're like, but you're like better than Judas. Like, Judas is now a little worse than he used to be just because Eve is better.
Right.
Yeah. Well, that's great.
That and with her, you can take Deal of the Devil to get yourself down to 1 heart container and if you accidentally pick up a heart, you don't lose anything.
Yeah. Whereas before, you had to get yourself down to 0 heart containers.
Yeah.
To do that. And that was the big problem with Eve, is like accidentally picking up a half heart and just
exactly
fucking yourself up. Yeah. What do you guys think about the HP cap thing?
I dig it. I mean, I'm not too big. I don't think it's a huge loss to not be able to have hearts off the screen anymore. It requires, it means you can't be indestructible anymore, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Because there's always that part in, like, Vanilla Isaac where, like, something would happen and you'd have enough, like, you would have 11 hearts and then you'd find Guppy's Paw and you'd be like, well, you know, now I've got 33 hearts for the rest of the game. Like, I can never die.
Yeah.
You know, and that doesn't really happen anymore, which I think is pretty cool.
Yeah, no, that kind of just stopped being fun.
Yeah.
This isn't a very good example of a thing that's not fun, but have you ever gone to an arcade and, like, given them, I don't know, $7 for the night to just, like, have unlimited quarters?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you go, like, play House of the Dead or something?
Yeah.
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 Yeah, there's some games where that's no fun. You're definitely right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I get hand cramps playing a House of the Dead game that long.
Oh, God, me too.
Yeah, that's it. I can't do that trigger motion.
Yeah, somebody come take this light gun.
Yeah, I will walk away from a game, like no problem. Or if I play Street Fighter against somebody and then they lose and they don't want to play anymore, like, I'm not going to play against the computer Street Fighter in an arcade. Like, I just walk away from my guy.
Yep.
But I'll do that even with a quarter, like,
I'm done with this game, fuck it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the health cap thing is really good, but I was thinking about it, and I think that one of the design synergies in the game that makes that acceptable is the rebalancing of Isaac and Blue Baby as boss fights.
Mm-hmm.
Because previous, the way those fights were designed, you know, it was like you had to be very tanky. Like,
right.
You were going to take a lot of damage, and now their firing patterns are much more predictable and easier to get around, I think.
Yeah, it becomes more bullet hell unless I need to have all the health in the world.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're just more skill-based. Like, those were badly designed boss fights before, where, like, in the original Binding of Isaac, I would sometimes go against Satan, even though it wasn't as far as the chest, but just because it was a good boss fight, you know?
Right.
And it wasn't, like, a test of how much I'd scam the health system.
Yeah.
You know? Like fucking Obama, right?
Topical!
Yeah now I definitely go chest over hell if I don't have the damage output.
Yeah.
Because I can stay alive a little bit longer in those fights than I can against Satan and the new end of hell boss.
Yeah. And you get the 4 items on the chest, which will on the balance be better than 4 red chests, which is what you get in the new area.
Yep.
In the dark room.
Mm.
But Yeah, all the changes, I feel like every single change, like, and this is, you know, is better. The one thing I want to see what you guys think about this too, I don't like the music as much.
No, Danny B's music was definitely better.
Yeah, it was great.
This music is not bad.
Yeah, I like both. What I want, here's what I want. I want a mod that gives me both randomly.
Okay.
Because I enjoy
both. On a
note
by note basis?
Yeah, I enjoy both, but I do miss Danny B's music. Like, it's just stuck with Isaac with me. I don't know if it's better or worse in any regard. I don't think they fit any worse than Danny B's music did.
Right.
I just want Danny B's music because that's what I associate with Isaac.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's already a mod. There's an original music mod that someone put out that I think I'm going to install now that I've heard all the tracks.
Yeah.
In Rebirth. Yeah. Like, it's fine, but some of the ambient stuff, like, it's just not for me. So. Even though, like, when you unlock that everything is terrible and unlock the worst versions of the floors, those tracks are better, I think. I think the cellar track is better, the catacombs track is better, the necropolis track is better. It's a little bit more percussive. Like, the other versions are just so, like, ambient and non-melodic.
Yeah.
I just don't dig it. So. But that's really the only criticism I have, like, I can think of. I think it looks better all around. Mm-hmm. You know, the lighting effects are kind of amazing. Have you guys had, like, a curse of darkness in that room with the fire in the middle with all the hoppers?
Yeah.
No.
It's awesome.
It's really great.
Yeah, it looks really pretty because they all get set on fire and then jump around the room. And, like, it just looks like this amazing, like, firefly party after dark.
I want to say there's something else that has, like, an enemy with a fire effect that was really amazing in those rooms. But I can't think of who.
Fighting the Maw in Curse of Darkness is great, too. Mega Maw?
Yeah,
like as a boss fight, because he has those blue flames that, like,
those are cool.
Yeah, pop out. That's really great. Yeah. Do you guys have, like, favorite new items, like shitty new items, anything like that?
Let's see. I mean, the synergy between Spoonbender and any theme thing is awesome.
Yes. Yeah. I was doing a computer whiz run earlier.
Yes.
Exactly. That's just amazing. Just walking into a room and just hosing everything down with lasers.
It's great.
Yeah.
I really enjoy the trade-off for Abaddon.
Oh, yeah, Abaddon's really good.
I think that's a really good item. And, like, it's really fun to strategically play around it because it, Jenny, it's an item you get later, but it's a damage up and also a tier effect. I forget which one.
It's fear shots.
Oh yeah, fear shots.
Oh, fear shots.
And a damage up. It's a deal with a double item. But nice. When you take it, it usually only costs, like, you know, 1-2 hearts. But when you take it, no matter what, it gets rid of all your heart containers and gives you a bunch of black hearts instead.
Oh man.
Yeah. So it's a quick way to get no health. Yeah. It's ridiculously OP with Blue Baby. Like, with Blue Baby, it's like a 4 health up.
Yep.
Oh my gosh. That's awesome.
It's a real good item. I'm a real fan, real big fan of that one.
It's super good. I like Monstro's Lung a lot.
Monstro's Lung is cool.
I kind of like the charge items. I end up being pretty good with them just because, like, at the end, like, I just want to be able to stick my, you know, stick the highest concentration of damage, like,
in a
spot.
Number of hits. Yeah.
And then I really like the anti-gravity tiers, which, again, like, it synergizes real well. Like, getting that with Brimstone or getting that with Monstro's Lung is just incredible.
Yeah.
Like, have you run into anti-gravity tiers yet, Jenny?
I don't know. Are those the ones that hang in the air for a while and then charge?
Yeah.
Those were those. There's a challenge run for those.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Waka Waka.
Yeah.
Yeah. The that thing is so crazy with, like, almost any synergy.
Yeah. Like, exactly. I don't like it alone. Alone, it fucks my runs hard.
Yeah. Mm.
But if I get that when I already have something cool that'll synergize with it, it's amazing.
Yeah. Like, Brimstone with that is just incredible. Like, you create these little portals of Brimstone.
Oh, man.
And leave them, and then they fire a few seconds after you leave them.
That's awesome.
And you can fire them faster than you can fire Brimstone. So you set, like, a series of little, like, turrets.
Yeah, build a little wall out of them.
Yeah. It's super cool.
It's real cool, yeah.
Yeah. That item's really, really neat. Yeah, and then, like, as far as, like, I really like the idea of, the like, fashion souls wise, the ceremonial robes, I think, is probably the most swag thing you can get.
It is really good. Yeah. I like ceremonial robes and Gimpy.
Oh yeah, yeah. They got a fucking Sith Lord.
Yep. Those are real good together. Lots of good visual stuff, though. The pixel artists at Nicholas are just, like, they did a stellar job with this game, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. What else? Do you have any other, like, spoiler things? We're just kind of like, this is just the gushing part.
Yeah,
about
it's like the gush conversational. We're not too worried about pissing anyone off with what we say.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man, how cute are those poops, though?
Yeah, the whistle that he does is, like, adorable. Yeah, that's, like, the best thing. I went on their store to see if they had started, because Edmund's wife or girlfriend, I can't remember what their relationship status is, she makes, like, little handmade action figure versions of the guys. I wanted to see if she had made any of the new stuff, but the store's down temporarily.
Yeah, they just recently moved right before Rebirth release, and so they're still kind of getting settled in before they start doing shop stuff. I think
Danielle is her name.
Yeah, I think Danielle said that she just hasn't. She's just not ready to do it yet. Like, she was just like, ah, fuck that. Like,
yeah. But I'd be tempted by the Dingle, because it would come with a couple of those little squirts.
That'd be good.
Oh, yeah.
I love how you can tell the boss Dingle, like, in later floors where you start running into bosses as regular enemies, you can tell the Dingle versus the one that's just the giant turd, because Dingle is super happy and the giant turd one's angry.
Yeah.
Like, if it's smiling, it's Dingle. Like, Dingle's super happy to be a giant piece of basement shit. Whereas the other one is a pretty bitter jerk. Yeah,
sure. Well, Dingle is king basement shit.
Yeah, yes. He's king shit of Basement Mountain.
Yeah,
he's great. I like a lot of the new bosses. I think the adversary can suck my dick. Like,
adversary's
that's the one,
so hard.
That's the hardest one for me.
I've not hit him yet.
Yeah, he's hard. Have you run into the dark one yet?
Yeah.
This is like the undead version of the dark one.
Yeah.
Like, okay. There's dead versions of all the bosses.
Okay.
Dead dark one becomes the adversary.
And he has a uniquely synergized brimstone that you'll grow to hate the very first time you run into him.
Yeah.
Fun.
Yeah. That guy sucks.
That guy sucks.
When you're in, like, the womb and you run into, like, double adversary for your boss fight, or when you're in, like, the dark room, like,
it's over.
That shit. Like, I've had triple adversary before.
Oh my god.
Like, what are you doing? Like, okay, I don't want to fight triple adversary.
If you can't two-shot those guys, you're gonna be fucked.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, guys.
All right.
You want to call it there?
Yeah. Sure. I have to go buy some cat food.
All right.
Okay.
Good job. Yeah,
I'm hungry.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Jenny, thank you so much for joining us.
Sure.
Yeah,
thanks,
Jenny.
So much for having me.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, super fun.
This was fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, guys.
Yeah, go ahead. Thanks.
Check out Jenny's stuff, as we said before, and we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.